Today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, Uber may lose its license to operate in London. The U.S. Department of Transportation is about to issue updated rules on phony service animals. And we tell you which domestic airline has the healthiest food on board.
At 3:20 in our Smarter Traveler segment, I'll remind you the one thing you want to make sure is on your phone before you leave the country. Why it isn't a snap to remember, and where you can find the information you need.
If you live within Northern California, perhaps you've already ridden the magical Christmas train in years past. If you haven't, Santa's elf Chris Hart is here at 3:35 to tell you all about it.
Speaking of magical places, New York City is absolutely one of them, especially at holiday time. I've just returned from the Big Apple and will share some highlights, including what it's like to see the big parade you watch on television. The Big Apple comes up at 3:50.
You might have noticed Clayton Whitehead is in for Tom today. It's our pleasure to bring you this Thanksgiving weekend leftovers edition of The Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
Everybody, it's a rainy Thanksgiving weekend. I used to be able to look over Clayton and see the parking lot, but I can't see the parking lot at.
It looks like a lake to me.
I used to be able to see the parking lot at Arden Fair, so I would be able to give you the Christmas parking lot update, but can't do that. I'm just looking out at the traffic here on I-80, which actually is moving pretty well. Rainy day. Hope you all are safe and warm inside. On the way over to the station, I noticed that the rain has started to back up a few intersections in critical places. So as it gets dark and you're out wandering around town, getting that one last errand done or something on Sunday night, or getting something to eat or something, be careful, because there's now starting to be some standing water in different places. If you're going to the airport to pick somebody up, just know, as you heard on the news, there have been over 700 cancellations, 1,500 delays today. So it's about a 1 in 3 possibility that the person that you're meeting or people that you're meeting have either been delayed or canceled. So make sure that you check that before you head out to the airport, because it's going to be crowded out there. And remember the Travel Guys tip: if you're going out to pick somebody up, especially in Terminal B, where it tends to be really crowded downstairs on the arrivals area at this time of the day, it's really not crowded on the departures level. So you might tell the person you're meeting to meet you on the departures level, and you could probably pull that off a lot easier. Mr. Clayton, welcome, Clayton Whitehead, into the Travel Guys booth.
Thanks, Mark. Great to be here.
Tom Romano has taken the weekend off to spend some time with family, so it's nice to have you here, just fresh back in from a trip to New York City,
Yes, I was there for 6 wonderful days last week, and I guess fell between big winter storms. We actually had one day that got into the 60s. It was beautiful and warm-ish. And very, very nice.
They've been talking about crappy weather all week for people Thanksgiving traveling. And, you know, around Sports Leisure, we've been watching to make sure that our group from New York City could get back in time. But as it turns out, if you're going to travel at Thanksgiving time, Thanksgiving Day or the day after, the Friday after Thanksgiving, are really the two best days to travel. The airlines don't run all of their schedules on those days, but airports are less crowded because there are fewer planes. You may not get the perfect connection that you would normally get, because in some cases that perfect connection isn't operating on the slower days. But nonetheless, and it's not a very well-kept secret anymore that Christmas Eve and Christmas Day are also times to travel if you can squeeze out of being with the family. Clayton, you not only came back from New York City and popped into the booth today, but you came bearing gifts.
I do have gifts indeed. As many of you know, I'm an old barber shopper myself. I love that style of music. And we have here in Sacramento an award-winning chapter of Sweet Adelines, which is the Lady Barber Shoppers. They're called the Sacramento Valley Chorus. Their holiday concert is next Saturday, December the 7th. An afternoon show, 1:30 p.m., is when the doors open with hors d'oeuvres and coffee and cider. 2 p.m. concert, so you'll be home before dark. And I've got two pairs of tickets that we're going to give away at the end of the show.
Okay, so if you are available next Saturday and you enjoy that type of barbershopish harmony from the ladies, why, we have some tickets to give away later on in the program. Keep listening and we'll give you some hints about how you can get those tickets later on. All right, at the top of every program, one of the things that we take care of is the travel news. And we have a few things to go over here today. Uber has lost its license to operate in London. This happened last Monday. The city's transport regulator cited a pattern of failures that placed passenger safety and security at risk. If you recall, in recent weeks, we have talked extensively on this program about safety and security in ride sharing. San Francisco-based Uber immediately says it plans to appeal Transport for London's decision. Because of the appeal, nothing will change for passengers and drivers who use the Uber app for the time being. But if Uber cannot convince the Transport for London that people are safe riding in Uber cars, then there may be some changes. There are 3.5 million people in the greater London area who have ridden Uber in the last 2 years, and 45,000 licensed drivers.
Wow.
One city. You mentioned in New York, this is a problem in New York. They've created rules now for Uber and Lyft drivers that they can't just be driving around when they don't have
absolutely. Uber and Lyft, not a good idea in New York. It just doesn't work like it does in downtown Sacramento.
Your Uber or Lyft in New York City is your feet and the subway.
Amen to that.
In New York, you pay your apartment, your place where you live, and the place where you work, and all of those things are in direct relation to where the nearest subway station is, for sure. Okay, let's see, what else do we have here? Hundreds of airline catering workers are arrested for protesting. We mentioned this previously here on the Travel Guys, that the folks who prepare the food in the kitchens that go on the airplanes, airlines don't serve complimentary meals in most cases now, unless you're in the forward cabin. But nonetheless, those things that you buy on board have to be prepared. And the people who prepare them make very little money, and they have decided that they would like to make more than $12 an hour. About 60 union members were arrested in New York City, 50 in San Francisco, 39 in Philadelphia, and more than a dozen in Los Angeles last week. However, American Airlines officials said they were confident a deal with Unite Here's members, that's the union that's on strike, could be reached soon. So hopefully that will be the case. Otherwise, you may be headed off to Christmas. You may have to bring your favorite sandwich on the plane. Not the Limburger sandwich, please. People who bring odoriferous things on airplanes should be taken out, and there should be a special place for people like that.
You always know when you're leaving on a flight from New Orleans, there's always going to be three or four people on board with a muffalata. You know that olive sandwich?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's kind of odoriferous.
Kind of an olive sandwich?
Well, it's got meat and cheese, but the olives kind of trump the rest.
Uh-huh. Yeah, no, that's... Recent OTA rules could topple resort fees before new laws do. Online travel agencies are creating some rules and regulations which may affect those bothersome resort fees, which have gotten really out of hand. Over $50, $51 at one hotel in Las Vegas. Resort fees of $30, $35 are fine. People who listen to this program are fine, are very common around the country now. Those who listen to this program know how we feel about resort fees here on the Travel Guys. We really wish that they would go away. But online travel agencies may hold the key to getting rid of these fees, because basically they are saying Booking.com first said that they were going to start taking commissions on these fees, which would mean that they were going to treat them just like anything else. There has been some pushback to Booking.com for that, and they have postponed that until the first of the year. However, Expedia recently, Clayton, started listing hotels that charge resort fees lower in the rankings. So since many people never get off the first page when they go online and they're looking up something most people, almost 80%, never go to the second page. So if you're not listed on the first page, your chances of getting the business are dramatically dropping. And Expedia is penalizing hoteliers that are charging resort fees by ranking them below hotels that don't charge fees.
What gets me is that more than half the hotels that charge them aren't even resorts.
Exactly. Well, and so if Expedia is able to, if your ranking online is determined in part by whether or not you charge resort fees, we may see those fees go away quicker than we had hoped. Here's a new study that reveals U.S. airlines with the healthiest food options. Alaska scored 4.0 on a 5-point scale. They were first. Airlines were scored on categories ranging from nutrients and calorie levels of meals, snack boxes, and individual snacks. They were also measured on the sodium levels, water quality, available of meals on flights that are under 3 hours long, level of transparency in terms of displaying nutritional information. In other words, if you bought something to eat on a plane, could you find out what's in it? And posting their menus and ingredients online, Alaska led the pack with a 4.0 score on a 5-point scale for the second consecutive years. The author of this column noted that he was pleased with many of the options Alaska offers, including Mediterranean tapas, snack box, and its Fresh Start protein platter breakfast. Rounding out the top five American airlines in the study were Delta and JetBlue, tied with a 2.9, United and American at 2.7. Hawaiian Airlines scored the lowest among carriers with full food offerings, and Southwest, of course, came in last among U.S. carriers with a score of only 1.7 because they offer only snacks. However, the comment here was maybe Southwest could add some healthy snacks to the things that they offer on board.
Hey, I would like to give a shout out to Hawaiian because only they serve POG.
Yeah, which is what? That's passion orange guava juice, except that look on the label next time that they hand you one of those and see that and see how much juice is actually in your little container speaking of soft drinks, Carnival's new slogan should be, is Pepsi okay? Carnival is switching to Pepsi from Coke as of the first of the year. So if you are a Coke fan and you're headed onto a Carnival cruise, you will have to bring your Coca-Cola with you. You are allowed to bring 12 cans of your favorite soft drink on board when you go cruising with Carnival. How cool is that? All right. And finally, here's an important article. We are coming for your phony service animals, says the headlines. Here's the deal. New York Times reports this. One of the things that we might see service animals, phony service animals, bite the dust for is that we've had several instances in recent weeks where service members, obviously retired service members, have been denied boarding on airplanes because their service dogs were interpreted as emotional support animals. In a couple of cases, servicemen who didn't have apparent disabilities were denied boarding with their animals. Of course, things like PTSD and some other brain injuries are not always visible to the naked eye or to someone observing. So this has caused some veterans groups to get up in arms about this and to say, look, these phony service animals that people are hauling onto the planes are now starting to affect our wounded warriors, who in some cases have these animals because the animals indeed perform a legitimate service to the retired serviceman who has them. So this might be the end of the service animals. I would say, despite all the bites, you've got flight attendants unions, their labor unions that are trying to get rid of them and everybody else. But it might ultimately come down to the fact that there's enough confusion on this now. Why don't we just say that pets fly in the cargo hold? And maybe we could do this, too. Maybe we could do something to the airlines to convince them that not to charge so much for pets flying on the plane, which that would discourage people from who are currently trying to beat the system. And maybe we could make sure that those animals are safe and well taken care of in the cargo hold so that their owners would be comfortable with having them travel that way. And then maybe that would be a win-win for everybody. And that's your travel news for today. Coming up next, Chris Hart from the Sacramento River Train is going to join us and tell us about some wonderful options for your family this holiday season, right here on The Travel Guys. Country roads, take me home. Welcome back to The Travel and Entertainment Guys. Mark Hoffman here, along with Clayton Whitehead, who is sitting in for Tom Romano today. And Clayton, this is a perfect subject to have you in the room for. This came over my desk last week, and I thought it was, we use this part of the segment of the program to try to make people just a little bit smarter the next time that they head out on the road. And it strikes me that with all the folks who are traveling internationally, a lot of them are not necessarily experienced international travelers. And when you get overseas and you turn your phone on, not only are you not going to be able to call your favorite food pickup delivery people, you're also not going to be able to call 911. So you do a lot of international traveling, Clayton. When you go to different countries, how do you handle the emergency telephone numbers?
Well, as with all things, Mark, folks who travel across the street, across the state, across the country, across the world need to do a little bit of homework. And certainly being prepared for an emergency is something that deserves your time and a little bit of research. 911 that we all know here in the U.S. is actually a North American institution. The United States, Canada, and a good bit of Mexico share the 911 system, as do American territories and, interestingly, the Dominican Republic. But beyond that, 911 will get you nowhere.
So you need to know. And it was interesting to me, I saw this with the press release that was sent to me, emergency numbers around the world, and there's probably a dozen of them listed here for major countries. But then, and doing a little bit of my own homework, I found that you can go, for countries around the world, almost everybody has their own different set of, and it's not the same in every place. You don't necessarily dial the same emergency number to get a fireman as you would to get an ambulance, etc.
That's very true. For example, within the EU, they have the, quote, European standard.
I was going to ask you about
112. But because the EU is younger than emergency programs, many countries already had their own programs in place before the EU started. So, like, for example, in England, you can dial 999, which was their original emergency number, or 112. In France, 112, but then the person who is really keen on what they need mm-hmm. can dial a few additional numbers and immediately summons either police, fire, or ambulance.
So that explains on this list here, like you're saying France is 112, and then it says for ambulance, 112.15.
Right.
For fire, 112.18. So if you dial 112 in France...
My assumption is you go to some central switchboard where someone can help you, mm-hmm. probably in French.
Right.
I've never tried it.
That's the other thing, is that in most of these countries, most foreign countries, those who handle emergency switchboards speak English, but not in every country do they speak English.
And, of course, in larger municipalities, it's going to be more likely. In a tourism town, it's going to be more likely. But if you're out in the middle of nowhere, then you might get a local Joe who's doing their very, very best but can't speak English.
Ah, okay. And very valid point. Also, in some places here, like Equatorial Guinea, it's local numbers only. So in some smaller countries, you'd have to have the number for not only the country but the municipality or the part of the country that you were staying in or traveling in at that particular time. So it could get a little dicey if you were in different parts of the country.
And using your U.S. phone, you're going to have to dial the international country code to get out of the U.S. system in order to call the local number of where you are. It's complicated.
So while we're on this subject here, since you're the international guy at Sports Leisure Vacations, you travel internationally. What do you do for your phone when you head overseas?
I'm blessed that there's a Verizon store about a block from my house.
Uh-huh.
And I walk in like an ignorant little, the technologically ignorant soul that I am. Mm-hmm. And I hold out my phone to the people and I get them to explain to me what my options are. Most of my travels are in Europe or Australia, New Zealand, shall we say first world countries. And I've kind of gotten used to the program. But I did go to Jordan a couple years ago, and you know, that's a little off the edge of
right.
common places. And, sometimes I have to get a new SIM card when I go. Sometimes there's just a little litany of numbers you have to press to get where you want to go. But the Verizon people, I'll give a small shout out to them. Hopefully they're all equally helpful, but you know, they're in the business of helping us use our phones, and they're also in the business of upselling, which ultimately this is. So talk to your phone people and find out what's the best option for you to use your phone internationally, and be sure and ask about your possible need to make an emergency call.
And the possibility, too, that they may be trying to upsell you as opposed to turning you on to what is the best option for you.
Certainly.
It might be that they're telling you what is the best option for them. Okay, you mentioned SIM cards here while we're on the subject. How do you feel about them? Some people who travel overseas just say, I just get a SIM card and that's it. I mean, that doesn't have anything to do, obviously, with these emergency numbers, but just calling, because that can be very expensive. Some people, I get these on the people right into the travel at travelguysradio.com and say, gee, you know, I went on an international tour and I came home and I thought that I had signed up for a plan that was going to cost me $50 and it cost me $400 and the phone company won't budge.
Well, it's complicated. First of all, there's two things here. There's phone usage and then there's data. And those are two totally different things.
Right.
And if you don't turn off your data,
right,
then you are searching the internet and you're connecting with satellites, whether you know it or not. That's what costs so much money. Phone service itself, I find to be pretty reasonable internationally. But a situation just this past January when I went to Australia, I had talked to my little Verizon people. I thought I had everything worked out. I got there. My phone didn't work. And within a few hours, it didn't work. So I found, Vodafone, I think, is
okay,
the main phone company down under. And I walked in, and about 10 local dollars later, I had a SIM card. And I think I had 40 hours of usage or something, which was more than adequate for my needs. And that was the end of the story. In so many days, the SIM card expired. And then when I got home, I took my phone back to Verizon and let them put the original SIM card back in and made it work for me again. But
international phone instructions for dummies. Just take it to the Verizon store, hold out your hand and say, fix me.
Yeah, you're like Oliver. You just hold out your hands and say, I would like it fixed, please.
Okay, so let me tell folks who are listening that I list a pretty good list of emergency numbers while abroad alphabetically can be found at travelguysradio.com, along with a lot of other cool stuff about unofficial rules for sitting in the middle seat of the plane. We had the folks from the 2019 Wreath Project on last week, and their link is there. So if you are in the mood to help put wreaths on graves of fallen soldiers down at the Sacramento Valley Cemetery, you can go there. But at travelguysradio.com, you can find on highlights for this week a pretty complete list of emergency numbers while you're traveling abroad. Anything else that we should tell folks about that stuff?
The State Department has a great website with a lot of wonderful information, including where you can register to let your country know where you're going to be.
The step information site, yes. If you're going out of the country, just put in STEP, S period, T period, E period, P period into your browser, and it will take you to, and what that basically does is let your government know where you are. All right, coming up after the news, we will have Chris Hart from the Sacramento River Train. He's going to tell us about all the wonderful options for your family on the train around Sacramento at Christmas time. We are the Travel Guys on KFBK. Welcome back to the Travel Guys, second half of the program here on a rainy Sunday afternoon in Sacramento. If you are out negotiating around town, please be careful as it gets dark. You're going to find that there is standing water in some places around town. It's been raining now for over a day, and some of those situations will probably get worse before people are there for in the morning. So you see standing water, don't try to drive through it. All right. Every year at Christmas time here in the Sacramento area, we have something really cool that families can do, and that's kind of an extension of something that happens year-round. We have a train on the Sacramento River that runs between Woodland and Sacramento. Clayton, you've heard of the river train, I'm sure.
It's awesome. I've done it before.
And Chris Hart is a buddy of ours straight from the North Pole, and he joins us here on the Travel Guys. Chris, welcome to the Travel Guys show.
Hello and Merry Christmas.
Hey, Chris, tell us a little bit about the trains that you run at Christmas time here. It looks like we've got not only the magical Christmas train, but you've got a dinner train, some really cool things for the holidays.
Yeah, well, the holidays are just a really popular time for us. The featured one, though, is the magical Christmas train. And between Thanksgiving weekend and just before Christmas, we'll run about 50 trains. And each one is basically a show on a moving train. We have about, I think it's about 12 actors and performers up and down the train, plus the train crew, and of course Santa. And they put on this 75-minute long experience that is entertainment nonstop while you're rolling along. A lot of singing. In fact, we've done a lot more singing this year than any other year. That was something we were talking to people they really liked, so we added more and more of that.
Chris, let me ask you, what is this that I hear about, a snowball fight?
Yeah, that's my favorite thing we added. It's near the end of the train every time we've added a snowball fight, and that's always a huge popular thing to do at the end.
Chris, I note that not only is this is the magical Christmas train available here in the Sacramento area, but also you're doing it up on a couple of your other trains too.
Yeah, our sister railroad, the Skunk Train, up in Mendocino, they're also doing the magical Christmas train out of both Fort Bragg and Willits. And so we've been doing it out of all three locations now for quite some time. And actually, that's where I first saw the snowball fight, and I copied it from our sister train, and I brought it down here.
So I'm guessing that this is really very much an option that's great for families. Am I correct?
It really is. I mean, there are certainly some people that will come without kids. There is, as when we do our surveying, I like to ask people a question where it's like, did you have a good time? And then another question is, did you have a good time because the kids had a good time, or did you have a good time on your own? You know, just because, you know, without ignoring the kids for a moment. And to me, that's always a good sign. We try to entertain the adults too, and not just make it just focus on the kids. But having said that, the kids are the focus.
Now, the price. Tell us a little bit about pricing for the train, where it leaves from, how folks can make reservations.
Yeah, the tickets are $55 for adults, $45 for kids. It's, you know, we wish it was cheaper, but it costs a lot of money to run a train.
Yep.
and have this huge cast we put on. We you know, like I mentioned earlier, we have about 50 departures. We do still have room on trips. And the easiest way to get tickets is SacramentoRiverTrain.com.
And we posted a link to Chris's website at TravelGuysRadio.com, too. So if you're driving around and you can't, you're magically searching for a pencil right now, don't worry about it. Just get home, go TravelGuysRadio.com, and you'll see the link there on the top. Chris, you have another holiday option, a dinner train?
Yeah, we do a holiday dinner show, a holiday dinner train. And the idea there is we get a lot of company parties. We do some private charters, but this one was also available. I think it's coming up this upcoming weekend, where sometimes we'll just get a group of 20 people who want to have a company party, or just some adults who want to have a little time out. And I think that's coming up either a Friday or Saturday this weekend. And then we also do a thing after Christmas. We do a very relaxed holiday, just an excursion train for people who just want an outing between Christmas and New Year's. And we have a couple trips departing then.
Tell our audience, Chris, where the train goes, and can they get on just in one place here in Sacramento, or are there other options of getting on the train? Tell us a little bit about, for folks who are not familiar.
Yeah, sure thing. We kind of near the IKEA in West Sacramento, about a half mile north of there. We board there, and then we go north along the Sacramento River and through farm country. This will be our last year boarding at that location, because we're actually in the process of building a whole new station further up north up the river, right along the riverfront, kind of near the Sacramento airport. And we're building a station up there. So this is our last year boarding here, and we're looking forward to our new home.
And if you're headed up to the coast, some of this Christmas-type train fun can be found in Willits and also in Fort Bragg. Chris, this is really cool. I know that a lot of people go on this every year. Did I see somewhere where you expect to carry like 10,000 guests on the magical Christmas train?
Yeah, for all tourist trains in general, the Christmas train is a really special thing. Because the thing is, if you think about, like, what do you want to do with your family during the holidays? You know, some people may want to focus on shopping or something, but other than like maybe ice skating or maybe going and getting a tree, there's not as many like outings to go do with family. And so I think that's why holiday trains have done so well. There's certainly the Polar Express in Old Town and us. I think also they're running some trips up in Folsom. So all three of our trains in the Sacramento area are doing really well.
We're talking with Chris Hart, who is the president of a number of railroads. Mendocino, he's got the Skunk Train, he's got the Sierra Dinner Train, and the Sacramento River Train. Before I let you go here, Chris, I want to ask you, this doesn't have a darn thing to do about Christmas, but I see something on here about a Rocky Horror train show.
Yeah, we've been doing like murder mysteries now since 2001, and those have been a big hit. We've been doing a variety of other shows, but we decided to kind of do something different. So we did the Rocky Horror Dinner Train. And the idea there is, you know, we all know the Rocky Horror Picture Show. This is basically what happened the next day. And Brad and Janet take off on their, and next thing you know, they end up in our train, and there's the whole adventure and story continues. We started this in October. We run it a couple times. It's going over very well, and we've decided to book it every month next year.
Well, Chris, the one thing that's a takeaway from our conversation here, as it usually is when you and I get an opportunity to talk for a few minutes, is that the creativity among your team there never seems to end. Snowball fights and Rocky Horror train shows, and heck, I'd be inclined to come out just to see what will happen next. If you are a fan of trains and you've got a couple of little ones, I'm going to suggest you that you can be a part of a growing Sacramento tradition, the Magical Christmas Train. Go to TravelGuysRadio.com, and you can find out all the information. They have started running already. They will run until December the 23rd, and there's a holiday dinner train. Chris, thank you so much for your time, and thanks for the creativity, my friend. And next time somebody comes up with something new and different, keep us in mind.
Certainly. Thank you very much, and Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Merry Christmas to you, Chris. Isn't that cool, Clayton? That's a pretty...
I want to ride the Rocky Horror train.
You, you do?
And I'm going to bring rice and newspaper and toilet paper and all the other stuff you have to bring.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to throw it at people. Because that's what you do at the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
I see.
Oh, a water pistol. That's it. Water.
We'll have you... Listen, Chris has a standing offer to members of Sports Leisure Vacations. He wants to get a couple staff members on one of the trains. So that sounds like the perfect opportunity is for you to get in touch with Chris and find out about the Rocky Horror Train Show.
I'm there.
And then you can come back to the Travel Guys and report on it, and a new Sacramento tradition will begin anew.
Right on.
All right, so you just came back from New York City, and the weather was a little bit warmer for you this year.
I tell you, last year what century is this? In 2018 was the coldest Thanksgiving ever on record. When we went out to the parade at about 7 a.m. last Thanksgiving morning, it was 14 degrees, and it warmed up to 17.
Stories of the parade from New York City and other tips for visiting the Big Apple during the holidays with our guest host, Clayton Whitehead, when we come back for the last section of the Travel Guys right after this.
I'm on my way.
Back to the Travel Guys. Mark Hoffman here. Clayton Whitehead sitting in for Tom Romano. Remember that you can find links to all the things that we talk about today, including those emergency phone numbers we were talking about before, at TravelGuysRadio.com. And if you take a minute just to go to TravelGuysRadio.com, there is the coolest. This is Thanksgiving weekend, so our four-day weekend is coming to a close, and we're going back to work tomorrow morning. There is the coolest story on there. One, two, three, four, fifth bullet down. Six-year-old's life has changed after receiving enchroma glasses, I guess is the way you say that. Anyway, it's a wonderful short video about a young man who has always been colorblind all of his life and for the first time can see colors. And if it doesn't make your entire Thanksgiving weekend, I'll promise you a refund. TravelGuysRadio.com is where you can find it, along with lots of great information from the Travel Guys Radio show. Mr. Clayton, you are back from New York City. Before we talk about that, and there's one other little sidebar I had here, we have some tickets that we need to give away.
We absolutely do. The Sacramento Valley Chorus, our local Sweet Adelines chapter, has their holiday concert called Merry and Bright. It is Saturday, December the 7th at 2 p.m. at La Sierra Community Center up in Carmichael. We have two pairs of tickets to give away to our first two callers.
And it's next Saturday.
It is December the 7th, so you got to be free next Saturday, please, if you call.
Yeah, so please don't call for the tickets unless you're available next Saturday at 2 o'clock and you enjoy a cappella type
Absolutely. It's barbershop style harmony, which I just love. It's fun to watch. It's fun to listen to. And it is fun to sing.
All right. 921-1530 or 800-834-1530 are the numbers to call. We have two sets of tickets. You don't have to jump through any hoops. All you have to do is call in and tell Luis that you would like to have the tickets. 921-1530 or 800-834-1530 if you would like to go hear the ladies sing next Saturday.
And if the winner would leave their daytime number, because I'll call you tomorrow with the details.
Okay. And Clayton will get back in touch with you and make sure that you get your tickets. You came back from New York City, but before we get to that.
Wait. I want to talk about New York.
Just a minute. I saw something in the paper today that made me think of you. A number of years ago, we were at a convention, and Rosa Parks had passed away. And they were returning her to Detroit for her burial, and that was where our convention was. And we got into a taxi cab and went out and stood in line
about
for
5 hours.
A long time.
But it was absolutely worth it to pay our respects to
Rosa Parks. And it was absolutely one of the coolest things that I've ever done in my whole life.
Absolutely.
There were not very many Caucasian people in those in that line. And it was an opportunity. You know, sometimes you just get lucky. You go someplace and you're in the very right place at the very right time. Anyways, the reason I bring this up is because a Rosa Parks statue, it was unveiled today in Montgomery, Alabama. It was unveiled. It is going to stand about 30 feet from the spot where she got on, where she was arrested for refusing to give her a seat on a public bus to a white man on December the 1st, 1955. So it's the anniversary of that particular happening. And in Montgomery, Alabama, there will forever be a statue of Rosa Parks on the street. And when I read that, it made me think of that night in Detroit when we had gone out and stood in line for what seemed to be forever to pass in front of the lady's casket, which took only a few seconds. But I wouldn't trade those hours that we spent in line that night and the conversations that we had with people for anything in the world. It was really, really a life experience. So anyway, congratulations to the late Rosa Parks, who is now being honored in Montgomery.
You know, Mark, she was similarly honored a few years ago by congressional order. And her statue stands in the Hall of Honor now at our U.S. Capitol.
Well, how appropriate. Definitely a great lady and well worthy of some recognition. All right. You just came back with a whole bunch of travelers, about 30 or so, 25, 30
Actually,
people?
I had 38 in all. And it was a hearty group, and it was warm by New York standards, 30 to 45 degrees warmer than last
year.
You've
been doing this for a while. You've been going to New York at Thanksgiving. How many years?
I have been to New York City every single year except one since 1981, either over Thanksgiving or during the month of December.
Okay.
So I've got that holiday thing and kind of in my blood now.
So what would you tell somebody who is thinking about, they're trying to pick a time to go to New York City? Would you pick the holiday season when there are more people and you could run into bad weather, or is that a better time to go than other times of the year? Or does
I think it's spectacular. The thing I would want to tell a Californian is pull out the warmest clothes you have and then get some warmer ones, because you just never know. Now, this year we were blessed. During the parade, 47 degrees, so a full 30 degrees warmer than last year. And on the Tuesday...
Note to Sacramento people. He said it was 47 degrees. That would be a 4 and a 7 during the parade. And they were, quote, blessed.
That we were blessed because it wasn't 17 like it had been 365 days prior. But, Mark, 2 days before with the parade, on Tuesday afternoon, we visited the World Trade Center and the memorial there, the incredible memorial there. It actually was in the low 60s. Beautiful, wow. Sunny day. You know, sometimes you get that blessing. And other times, you get like last year.
So tell me about the parade. The route of the parade's a little different than it used to be. It used to come all the way through Times Square on its way to Macy's.
Yeah, it used to be on Broadway, and in people's minds, it's still on Broadway. But for almost 20 years now, it's actually gone down 6th Avenue. So the parade begins at 8th Avenue and 77th Street. It comes down the west side of Central Park, across the south side of Central Park, and then it shoots down 6th Avenue all the way to Herald Square, where Macy's flagship store is. That's 34th and 6th Avenue. And that's it. 3.5 million people will line that short route. and wait for hours and hours before the parade begins, but it is so worth it.
Now, in Pasadena, for like the Rose Parade, people go out and camp out overnight because, you know, the temperature's often in the 50s, 40s at night in Pasadena, Southern California, sometimes warmer than that. In New York, do people jockey for space the same way for the parade?
Just because of the weather, I would say there aren't a lot of people that camp out. I don't know that it's necessarily prohibited, but most people go out around dawn. And you just bundle up and you have to wait 3 or 4 hours for the parade to come. But there you are.
Now, you're staying in a hotel in Times Square at the Marriott Marquis,
right,
where all of the sports leisure groups that go to New York City stay, which, dare I say, is arguably New York's best location. The Marriott Marquis is a great hotel. So you don't have reserved seating for the parade, so folks just go out on their own. How does that work?
We just go out. Our hotel is between 45th and 46th on 7th Avenue. We walk one block to 6th, and then we just find the best spot we can. So this year we were standing behind the dozen or so that went out with me at 7 a.m., mm-hmm, yawn. We were standing behind a young family from Ohio, I think. They were somewhere from the Midwest. They were thrilled to be there. We were thrilled to be with them. Of course, you chat up your neighbors and get to know them because you've got nothing else to do for 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
It's exciting. And the other exciting thing around the holidays is the tree at Rockefeller Center. Now, it's going to be illuminated this Wednesday. It's normally covered live on television. I don't know what channel. Well, it would have to be NBC, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Because Rockefeller Center and NBC is kind of one and the same. I don't know the time, but it's usually a big spectacle. So we don't see the tree illuminated, but we do see the tree. And they're putting all the crystal decorations in place while we're there. And, of course, folks are ice skating on the rink out front, and then Saks Fifth Avenue flagship store forms the western frame of Rockefeller Center. And they do a big animated light show on the front of the building.
Are they still doing the big windows on Fifth Avenue, the Christmas windows?
Yeah, but most of the windows in New York are not unveiled until Thanksgiving Day or evening.
Right.
So you really have to be there on Thanksgiving or after for it truly to be Christmas. And Macy's, of course, they own the windows. I mean, they own the window show.
Okay. And so, and you guys were slumming it. You had dinner at Delmonico's Steakhouse or something
like
that.
Yes, and a wonderful all-you-can-eat Italian feast at Carmine's, which I love. We went to a burger bar, and then we ate at the very posh Capitol Grill. So we have a lot of fun food experiences.
We're talking with Clayton Whitehead. Clayton is sitting in for Tom Romano today. You're listening to the Travel Guys on KFBK. We're just in the home stretch here. We're talking about holiday trips to New York City. Clayton, you had a chance to see at least one new show in New York City. And
I actually saw two new shows.
Oh, okay.
I saw Tootsie, who the lead actor, the gentleman who then plays the woman.
But that's about to close.
Yeah, it is closing, sadly, in January. It just somehow didn't find its audience, but it was a really sweet, funny show. I think it'll do well on the road. The actor won the best actor in a musical,
mm-hmm,
so I got to see him perform his title role, which was awesome. And then we saw the recently opened Moulin Rouge. This is a adaptation of the movie, and if the movie was spectacular, then the show is spectacular. It's amazing, and it will be eligible for Tonys this coming June.
Now, folks that go with Sports Leisure to New York City on our trips are allowed to pick a show of their own to see. So your folks saw the Rockettes.
Right. We all saw the Rockettes together, the Christmas, right, Spectacular at Radio City Music Hall.
Mm-hmm.
And then we all saw Moulin Rouge. And then everyone had a choose-your-own show
night.
Somebody
in your group went to see Tina Turner's show.
Well, it wasn't just somebody or anybody. It was Mae Wong, our office manager.
Uh-huh.
And she was rocking and rolling and wearing all the clothes the next day. I think she bought out the little gift counter on the way out.
So the first reviews on Tina Turner's life story on Broadway have been pretty strong.
Yeah, obviously you would have to like Tina's music. Now, this is not a Tina Turner show. It is a show about Tina Turner.
Mm-hmm.
But they say the actress who is playing her actually plays Tina better than Tina plays herself. She will definitely be a contender for Best Actress in a Musical come June.
If you're looking for a way to go to New York City and you're thinking, wow, this all sounds pretty awesome, but I'm not sure I'd be willing to tackle that on my own, Sports Leisure Vacations. Clayton takes a group every November over Thanksgiving, and we take another group the last week of April for whom the Featured attraction is a night at Carnegie Hall with the New York Pops Orchestra, and some time up in Little Italy, and also some time learning behind Broadway. Is New York your favorite destination?
Oh, it's top five.
Top five.
That's the best I can do.
Oh, you're hedging there. You're definitely hedging a little bit.